Several of you have been here every night since the meeting started last Wednesday. Some of you had to miss some because of other responsibilities, but you're here this morning, and we're glad you're here. And I heard about a doctor the other day that was looking for a new job, and I asked why. Well, he had lost his patience. So don't want any of you to lose your patience, and that's a very important thing. Keep your patience. That's more important. Lady went to the doctor, and he said, "I hate to tell you this," but he said, "you have rabies." And she jerked a little notebook out of her purse, and she started scribbling. And he said, wait a minute, we can cure this. I mean, you're not writing out your will, are you? She said, "No, I'm making a list of people I want to bite." So you better watch it. You may get off the wrong track. Now, my wife and I both heard that at the same time, but she takes credit for it all the time. So I thought I'd try to slip that in before she got it out this time. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here today. And I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to the book of John, chapter 3. The book of John, chapter 3. If you'd like to have one of our Bible markers, it has our picture on there and just a word about us personally. And it has a couple of good quotations, one by Tory Johnson on revival, and the one from Charles Finney, "Revival is the renewal of the first love of Christians, resulting in the awakening and conversion of sinners to God." That's a good definition in just one sentence. And so if you'd like to have one of these, you can ask me for it. I used to put them out on the table, but they disappeared and nobody knew where they went. So especially if you'd like to have one, you let me know it. I've got some in my pocket, and I feel a great honor to give you one for praying for us. I'm reading in the book of Nehemiah, not right now, but I found out that after the walls were built in a record time, 52 days, the walls were built, and Sanballat and his cohorts were so disappointed because they couldn't do what they wanted to do and break in, do what they would steal and ravage the people in those days. And after this great victory of 52 days, these walls were built and the gates were restored. And Ezra the scribe stood up and opened up the scriptures. And when he opened up the book, he was standing on the pulpit, the Bible says. And when he opened up the book, he didn't say anything, just because of the goodness of their heart and the victory that had been won. The people just automatically stood up. And I think that's a good practice. Every time the book is opened, I think it's a good practice to stand up. I really do. So I'm reading from John chapter 3, and if you believe what I just said, well, let's participate. John chapter 3. Now, God has an answer to every problem. The greatest problem in the world is man's sin. And God's answer is here. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Father, as the message goes forth, we pray that it will be a message that will lodge in our hearts. And for anybody here that has never put their faith and trust in Christ, or maybe there are those here who think they did but haven't, Lord, speak to their hearts this morning. And may this be the day of their new birth in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Word of God has the answer to every need of every man. Every problem that man faces, it's here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men. Adam was the first man. He sinned. And because of that first man's sin, he's passed it down through the ages. The Bible teaches us, wherefore, as by one man's sin, death entered into the world. For all have sinned now and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us very clearly, the wages of sin is death. That's eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. You can't do enough good to get to heaven on your own. You can't lift yourself by your own bootstraps. There's only one way to be saved, and that's by the grace of God. You cannot boast. It's all by God. So you say, well, why should I be saved? The answer is simple. Because it is God's way. I read from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. We are in this world. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that we can live. And we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the Bible is teaching us we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So why should we be saved? It's God's way. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. It's the only way. There's no other way to get to heaven, whereby we must be saved. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, Nicodemus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you want to be saved so you can be justified. And just as though you had never committed one sin, looked upon pure, clean, and holy. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And then you can be saved, for without salvation you will not go to heaven. And so salvation is for provision for eternal life. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Those are the words of Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then you ought to be saved, because if you don't put your faith and trust in Christ, somebody else is going to follow you to hell. That's a bad place to lead people to. A pastor friend of mine was in Texas, and he was going to see a certain man. He parked and went up to the door, and this man was walking into the apartment building just about the same time he was there. And he said, are you, and he called him by name. He said, yes, I am. He said, well, I'm the pastor. I want to talk to you. He said, listen, I'm not interested in talking to you. I'm going to hell. Shut the door in the fat pastor's face, went on in the building. Little boy sitting there on the side of the steps, and the pastor sat down beside him and said, son, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. And the boy said, mister, that was my daddy that went through that door. He's going to hell, and I'm going to hell too. Time passed. The pastor was driving by that place some weeks later, And there were red lights flashing and a yellow band around a certain area. This man on the sidewalk, either dead or dying. It was the father of the little boy who said, "Look, I'm going to hell, and I'm not interested in what you got to say." And the little boy, while his daddy was asleep, took a butcher knife and slit his father's throat. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ died for. He died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And then you ought to be saved, because without salvation, you're standing in the way of somebody else. If you want to go to hell, well, that's where you're going to head. If you say, "Well, there's plenty of, I'll have plenty of company down there," you won't know any better. Anybody else is down there.
Right.
You won't know. There's a man that had a lot of money and he died. And then he was talking to Abraham and he said, "Oh, send somebody to my brethren that they'll not come to this terrible place." He said, "They have Moses and they have the prophets and they will not believe them, though one rose from the dead." So the Bible is teaching us, it's very important. And so look at the radius of regeneration. Where can I be saved? Well, here's a man that was saved in the jail in Acts chapter 16 and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, have you ever thought about why? Preacher, did you ever think about this question? Why do you suppose the jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must they do to be saved?" I've got a theory. It doesn't say this, but I believe I'm right. When they put Paul and Silas in, they were in the inner lockup. They were bound with their hands and their feet, and instead of cursing and swearing and keeping people up, they just sang about the Lord and they talked about the Lord. And they quoted the Bible verses and everything. And so the jailer thought, "Well, my goodness, usually when I put people in the inner lockup, they're cussing and swearing and doing everything and hollering and screaming. And I'm going to get some rest." And so he went over and he was resting. And while he was resting, the angel of the Lord came and broke the jail down, really. And the bars fell off and everybody fled, and Paul and Silas didn't flee. And the jailer came in, and he started to fall on his sword. Now, why was he going to do that? He knew he was responsible for those in the inner lockup, and everybody else was gone. He thought they were gone too. And Paul and Silas said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And that jailer fell down and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, why do you think he asked a question like that? He heard their testimonies. He heard them saying. And he knew that these were different prisoners. And instead of fleeing when they could have, they showed more interest in his soul than they did being set free from the prison. And he fell down at their feet and said, "I want what you've got. I want what you've got." And he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Bible teaches that people are watching us. Philip and the eunuch. Philip led the eunuch to Christ. The eunuch went to Jerusalem for to worship. And the eunuch couldn't worship. You can't worship God until you know His Son. The only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to know Jesus is by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And then we become a child of God because Jesus died for us. And so the Bible is teaching us very clearly that here's a eunuch. He went to Jerusalem for to worship. He couldn't worship because he didn't know Jesus. You cannot sidestep the Lord Jesus Christ and get to God. It's utterly impossible. You just can't do that. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then that great picture of the Calvary and the cross and one cursing and swearing, "If you're the Son of God, get us down from this cross." Others said, "You're wrong about Jesus. You're wrong about Jesus. Lord, remember me." Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So the Bible is teaching us where you can be saved. and when you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the radius of generation. Now I want you to notice the reach of it. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was a man that was a drunk. His baby was at the point of death. His wife said, now I want you to take this money, Mel, and I want you to buy medicine for the child. Mel took the money, passed the drugstore, and spent the last bit of money they had in the house on booze. The baby died. Mel came home, took the shoes off of the dead baby's feet, and swapped them for booze. He was getting ready to jump in Lake Michigan off the shores of Chicago. He's walking down the street, headed toward the lake to end it all. When he sobered up and realized what he had done and who he was, he said, I can't live with myself. He passed a little storefront that said Pacific Garden Mission. Now, how did he get the name Pacific Garden Mission? I preached there scores of times when I pastored in that area. And the sign on the window was Pacific Garden Mission. And they took Pacific Beer Garden. Sorry about that. I got ahead of myself. Pacific Beer Garden. And when the mission bought this, they took off the beer and left Pacific Garden and just wrote Mission under that. That's how it got its name. Mel was going down the street, headed toward the lake, and a man was there inviting people in, giving out tracts. I've preached there scores of times. And Mel Trotter went in, and that night he was gloriously saved. And he started missions across this land. And I've been in that mission up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where Mel Trotter, it's called the Mel Trotter Mission. You see, he passed from death unto life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm from Evansville, Indiana. Evansville, Indiana is famous for one thing as far as I'm concerned. And it's famous for a man by the name of Ernest I. Reveal. We called him Pappy Reveal. He was a great man of God. He was crippled in both legs, stood just a little under 5 feet tall. But God used him in a marvelous way. While he started the mission there in Evansville, Indiana, and Evansville Rescue Mission. To tell you what kind of a guy he was praying one time at his desk, and he said, now, Lord, he said, I've got on my desk right here, I've got over $500 worth of bills, and I want to remind you that these bills are not my bills, they're your bills. You see, you wanted me to start this place, and you remember that argument we had, and I wasn't going to start it, but you made me. Now, if these bills are not paid, somebody's going to be embarrassed, and it's not going to be me. And as he was praying, a man opened the door, shouting, Malachi's after me, Malachi's after me, and dumped over $500 out on Pappy's desk to pay those bills for that time. He was crippled in both legs. He would sit out in his little Chrysler station wagon. You remember the station wagon, some of you would, that had the actual wooden sides? Yeah. And he would open the door, and he would sit there, and he would witness to people as they come by, and his legs hurt, both of them, but he would hang one leg up over the door, and it was more comfortable for them. And this man came by, and he found out his name was Bill. And so he named him Old Bill. And old Bill had an eye put out because of sin. One time, he was over in Henderson, Kentucky, and he was fiddling for a dance. He was a pretty good fiddler. And a guy took his fiddle and put a poker through it at the fireplace. And Bill didn't like that, so he took his pistol and blew the guy's brains out. And they put Bill in the prison. And through his undercover ways, well, he got out. Then he started stealing chickens. So he went to a place that sold chickens. He climbed over the fence, got a coop of chickens that they already owned, went to the front door, and sold the chickens to the people that already owned them. He did that several times that day. And finally they caught on to him and they said, "Get out of here before call the police on me." He said, "Go ahead and call the police on me. I know more about you than you do, than the police do. I'll tell the police about you. You go ahead and call them." He was that kind of a guy. And he had passed in front of the mission, and Pappy would sit in the car, the Chrysler, and he'd say, now, he found out his name was Bill. He said, "Oh, Bill," he said, "you need to put your faith and trust. Shut up, old man. Look at your legs. Look at your... You got more trouble than I've got. Shut up. Don't talk to me." And in the wintertime, Bill would go to the brickyard because of the warm kennel there, and that's where he'd keep from freezing to death. And so one night he was headed toward the brickyard, and he was full of liquor, and it started raining and then freezing and sleeting and then snowing, and he slipped on the alleyway, the old cobble bricks out in the alley, and he slipped and he fell. And he froze. He froze to the alleyway. And the police came and saw a man, thought he was dead, pried him loose, and took him to headquarters and thawed him out. And they said, "Old man, what are we going to do with you? You've cost this city more than any other person. What are we going to do?" And you know what he said? "Take me down to that Jesus man." They said, "You mean reveal?" He said, "Yeah." He was gloriously saved. When I was a kid, I'd sit over here in the rescue mission, and back in the back, the building's about three or four times bigger than this, and back in the back, he would stand up, bald-headed, handsome guy, one eye put out because of sin. And listen to me, he would say, "So many years, so many months, so many days, exactly, time-wise, so many days, so many hours, and so many seconds ago, I was transformed by the power of God." Right. Old Bill. And Pappy changed his name to New Bill. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't make any difference how much money you have or don't have. It makes no difference what your sin life is. It makes no difference who you are. It makes no difference what color your skin is. It makes no difference what you speak or what language you speak. Jesus died for the world, for God so loved the world that He gave. Can you get that? God loves the sinner. If you're here without Christ today, you can be saved in your seat this very moment if you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can be saved? It's unlimited. Now, what's the response? When should I be saved? When should I be saved? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I'm thinking of the day of Noah. And I'm thinking of the day where these people came out to watch the old fool building the ark. Not even close to a body of water. Never had rain. They didn't know what rain was. And then, as Noah went into the ark, and then the thunder and the lightning, and those who were curious began to watch. And then the cloud in the sky, and then the lightning began to flash, and the water started coming down and coming up. And I'm sure they tried to get in, but God shut the door. God shuts doors that no man can open, and opens doors that no man can shut. And those who made fun of Noah went to their death and eternal hell because of unbelief and because of delay. I'm sure they tried to get in the ark when the water was coming up, but God shut the door. Now, one of these days, there's going to be a voice of the archangel, a shout, a trump of God, the dead in Christ, their bodies, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But their bodies are going to take on a glorified nature, and they're going to come together, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. You say, when that's going to happen? in such an hour as you think not. And the way things look, we're headed toward, in America, a land of no return. I don't know what you think about it, but surely it's biblically coming to pass. And you better get your rapture suit on if you don't have it on already, because Jesus Christ is coming again. The trump of God, the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. What a blessed time! Can you imagine being there with all the saints of eternal past? Brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God, children of the living God. Now the Bible teaches us very clearly, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And it teaches us when to be saved. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I was reading a book that was illustrations by Harry Ironside. Well, he was some kind of an expository and some kind of a great preacher. I held one of his Bibles in my hand one time. I was up in Canada. In Moncton, New Brunswick. And I sat down and talked to Harry Ironside's granddaughter. And she had his Bible. She called him Uncle H-A-I. That's what she called him. And so I looked at that, and it was a great joy for her to tell me much about his ministry. And Harry Ironside talked one time about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this is an illustration. He said there was a man that was called the Irish landowner. He was a very wealthy man. He owned a lot of properties. People were buying from him. People were renting from him. He was the Irish landowner. And so this landowner had trusted Christ as his Savior, and he put a big sign out over his land office and gave the date and said, at noon, everybody that is renting from me, everybody that's buying from me, you'll come to me and all your debts will be forgiven. And he gave a date. And he gave the time on the date. And the day came and people gathered around and they thought, well, this is some kind of a joke. And they gathered around, a big crowd out in front of the land office, and no one was going in. But finally an old couple came and the crowd parted and they went in. They were greeted by a very kind secretary. They took their names. And they owed the landowner much for their property and other things. And he went through it. And he said, all your debts are forgiven. And he wrote out a certificate that their debts were forgiven. And they thanked him and with tears. He said, you came by faith. You believe my word. Now you just wait for a while. If others come, they'll have to come the same way you did. And he had been saved, and he was trying to transfer salvation to all of those that owed him money. And so the time came, and he said, thank you for your patience. Now, you may leave. And again, with tears, they were thanking him for forgiving them of all their indebtedness. And he went outside, and the crowd was there. And they wanted somebody to try it. They didn't want to go in. They were just, the crowd was there, said Ironside. And as the old couple stepped out, they held high the paid in full paper they had been given. And the people started to rush toward the door. And the landowner said, just a moment. Look at the sign. Today's the date. But what's the hour? You had to come before 12 noon. The time is up. It's over. The offer is gone. You didn't take advantage of my word and what I said. Do you get the point? Listen, when people start leaving here, and if you're lost, and in your presence, they start disappearing before you. Some pictures have been painted with their clothing down on the ground and their shoes open, vacated. I don't know how it's going to be, but I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be over if you're lost. You may as well call off the dogs. That's it. And I don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to be in such an hour as you think not. So the Bible is teaching us when we should be saved. Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And if you're not saved, I'd get saved immediately. I just come to the Lord and say, oh God, I am a sinner. You love me. I know John 3:16. I'm part of the world. God, you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He died. I should die. And He died for me. And I'm ashamed of my filthy, vile sin. Lord, save me. And you know what He'll do? What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Just as sure as 2 and 2 is 4. But if you're here right now, and if your heart would stop, and it could do that. It could do that before. It's happened in the meetings where I was, where they carried people out. Just that was it. It doesn't make any difference where you are. But when the time comes, you're not going to have time for a second chance and say, well, when I get sick, I'll ask Jesus to... Oh, no. No. If you won't ask Him now, you're not going to ask Him then. And it may be so late that you're unconscious and you won't know what's going on. But you're alive and you're awake. And if you're sitting here right now, in this moment, you need Jesus as your Savior. And I've got good news for you. Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. My friend Fred Brown was preaching at the Evansville Rescue Mission. He was invited there 15 times by Pappy Reveal. And Pappy said, Freddy, you know why? He said, he's the only man I ever let call me Freddy. He said, Freddy, you know why I like you so much? He said, no, Pappy, you've asked me a lot of times to come. He said, you said you were from Alabama, and when they tested your blood, it tested out 99% pea soup, and I knew you weren't trying to put on the dog. He wrote Billy Graham and asked him to come. And Billy Graham said to Grady Wilson, who is this fella, Reveal? And Grady Wilson said, Reveal? What? He said, I don't know. He's down there in Evansville, Indiana, and he's asked me to come and preach. He said, don't turn that man down. You better go. If he's asked you to come down there, this is in the 40s. If he's asking you to come, you better do it. You better do what he says. Listen, folks. You better do what the Bible says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, it's embarrassing to do it. Are you worried about just a moment of embarrassment when you get saved, all the embarrassment's gone? Are you worried about a moment of embarrassment when you may leave your place and come up here and someone take an open Bible and lead you to Christ? Would that be embarrassing? You don't know what embarrassment is until you wake up in hell. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe our president could be saved if he called upon the name of the Lord? Absolutely. Do you believe Putin could be saved over there in Russia if he called upon the name of the Lord? Yeah. Yeah. Do you believe the dirtiest, filthiest, vilest sinner in Great Falls could be saved if he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Whosoever. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. He promises eternal life. And you know what it cost? Not one cent does it cost you. Jesus died to pay the price for your sin. Not only did He die, He came forth from the grave. He wants to save you. And He can save you right in your seat, right where you are. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to hearts. I don't know how many people here have the blessed assurance. But if there are those here that do not have that assurance, Lord, deal with them by Thy blessed Holy Spirit. Do more. I can't save anybody. I can just tell people what the Bible says. But the Holy Spirit is in a service like this. And He's going about. And He's speaking to the hearts of those that need Jesus or need to come back to the Lord. Maybe they have been saved, but they're not living for Jesus. And He's speaking to those hearts too. And so, Father, we pray at this invitation, as we sing, "Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." We pray that there will not be a moment's hesitation. May the conviction be so strong in the lives of those that need to come back to the Lord or come to the Lord in the first place. May it be so strong. May the conviction cause them to begin to walk toward the front of this auditorium. Let somebody that has the Bible open it and show them how they can come back or how they can know for certain they're going to heaven. We pray for that to happen right now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. "Just as I am without one plea," as our song leader leads us. And pastor's right here. You don't even have to wait for the song to start. I've seen people leave their place and come at a moment just like this. You say, "Well, that'd be embarrassing." You don't know what embarrassing is until you open your eyes in hell in the presence of the devil. You don't know. I wouldn't take a chance at that. I wouldn't take a chance at another service or another moment. I just do what the Spirit of God is convicting you to do right now. As we sing, would you come? "Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou didst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Just as I am, and waiting not. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You've done that too long. It's about time. Don't you think it's about time that you came to Jesus Christ and said, "Oh, I don't want to give up my life"? Well, then you would swap a few minutes of your sin for eternal heaven. Would you do that? You mean to tell me that you would say, "I'm not going to do it. It'll be embarrassing"? You don't know what embarrassing is. You don't know what it's mean to be without Christ, without God, without hope. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father ye shall do." I'd respond. I would respond as we're led in the next verse. Would you come? Would you slip out of your place and come? You need Jesus. This is the time. Don't put it off. "Just as I am, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know, when you've preached a while, as you're preaching, you look out and you see faces. There are some faces that you know are heavenly faces. And there are some faces that you wonder about. And I've seen some faces I've wondered about as I'm preaching. Now we're going to have one more verse. And if there's a doubt in your mind, you need to step forward and you need to say, "Preacher, I want to be sure. I want to know. I don't want to take my chances any longer. I'll put my faith and trust in Christ today." Maybe you're away. You need to come back. This is the time. This is the time to do it. As we sing one more verse. Just as I am, Thou wilt about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Pastor.
Laura, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I just want to remind you also, if you're here today and you have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ and believer's baptism, you know, you need to take care of that. That's a command of God. That's the first thing you do after you get saved. Secondly, you're here today and you say, preacher, you know, we want to be members of this church. This is the place we want to serve God at. I'm going to have the pianist play one more time. You're here. You'd like to do that. You come. You're here today. You're not sure you're saved. Come on. You're here today and you want to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come? You want to come become members of this church? You come. God sets a local church in front of you. You ought to be part of it. It's very important for you to do that. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word of God, the good news that is certainly published from this platform today. Lord, I pray you just speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to walk close to you. Help us, Lord Jesus, always be on the lookout for souls that are unsaved, folks that need to know Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we go from this place today, that our hearts would be filled with you. Lord, we'd pick up some tracts and pass them out to friends and people, neighbors, and Lord, guys at the work, gals in the workplace. Help us, Lord, to be more like you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Amen.